Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello, this is Tim Reedy for the America Magazine podcast for the week of January 7th to the 14th. I'm here this week with Maureen O'Connell. Welcome, Maureen.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much for having me.
Maureen is a professor over at Fordham University, Lincoln Center, which is just around the block from America House, and studied for a while at Boston College, right?
Yes, I did, in the ethics program there.
Ethics program, and you studied with some of the heavy hitters there?
I did. Lisa Cahill, Jim Keenan, Steve Pope.
Familiar names to America readers and Catholics out there. And before that, you're originally from Philadelphia?
I am. So I went to the Jesuit University of Philadelphia, St. Joseph's University. Go Hawks. And then I did a little time at Villanova University with my master's, and now here I am at Fordham.
Now, we're here today to talk about a project that has a Philadelphia basis, and this is a community mural kind of project that you've been involved in. Maybe you could give our readers a little description of it.
Sure. Well, through some really great funding from the Luce Foundation, I've spent, I guess, the last year and a half, looking at and speaking with and getting to know people in different neighborhoods in Philadelphia who are connected with a community mural program in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is actually the mural capital of the world.
Oh, really?
I didn't know. There are about 2,700 murals. And in fact, that number is probably different now because I think they say that they do about 350 new murals a year. So it's the mural capital of the world and has been acknowledged in lots of different national, international outlets. So among other things, you know, the cheesesteak and the Eagles, we have murals. So I've kind of grew up in Philadelphia and seen the murals. They've really been around since the mid-80s, but recently became really interested in looking at murals that either reflected or incorporate some sort of religious imagery, or murals that are done with faith-based communities on churches, on mosques, temples. I don't know. I just started to see these pieces of art, I guess, in a different light. And to use a term of one of my colleagues at Fordham, Richard Vallatisale, he calls religious art a theological text.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so I think these murals really are theological texts. So as any good theologian, I've rolled up my sleeves and tried to sort of get into the process of interpreting the meanings of these texts and doing that through conversations with the people who create them.
And as you write in a couple of pieces that you gave me about it, it's fascinating. It's not just an individual who's involved in this project. It's the whole community.
Yeah, in a way, that's sort of what makes this whole endeavor in Philadelphia unique and what makes it as successful as it's been. These aren't just, they're not murals. They're really community murals. In other words, this is not public art that's sort of plopped in the middle of these neighborhoods from some outside source, some outside funder, or some sort of outside artists, but actually it's art that comes from within the community, and communities actually commission muralists to paint something fantastic on one of the walls in their neighborhood. And so it's really a very organic and grassroots approach, a new really approach to public art. It's public art is always seen as the most democratic form of artistic expression, and mural arts is really perhaps the most democratic of those expressions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. In this piece, you mentioned that they will often commission an artist. They'll get together and they'll hire someone. And, you know, I've seen some of these artworks here in New York, and you assume it's just a local guy who does it. But this is a community effort, and they will hire people who are not from the community, but this is what they do.
Yes. Really, a lot of this is possible as a result of an organization, a very well-recognized organization now nationally, called the Mural Arts Program in Philadelphia. It's a neat nonprofit that sort of sits at the intersection of city government and the private sector and the art industry. And basically, the Mural Arts has kind of put a process in place where communities put together an application to them for a mural. And this application process involves a minimal number of signatures from people in the neighborhood, a sense of the image that they'd like to use, the location of the future mural. And then Mural Arts kind of looks among their collection of muralists and figures out a muralist that would work best with the community. The muralist then goes to the community and has at least three community meetings with them, and a meeting has to have at least 12 people in attendance. So Mural Arts is very, really firm about this being a very open, organic, community-building process. So really these neighbors come together, and then they commission the muralist, and the muralist listens to their stories, listens to their ideas, kind of goes away, mm-hmm. comes back to them with a possible image, and then the community decides whether or not they're going to accept it or not. So really the voice and the image, the vision, the self-understanding of the community is protected and celebrated really throughout this whole process. So part of me sees this as maybe a new expression of, you know, preferential option for the poor in art way.
Yeah.
Because the interesting thing too is that a lot of this art happens or comes out of communities that we could easily define as being communities of concentrated poverty.
Sure.
So we've got hypersegregation, you know, high unemployment, a large percentage, you know, 60 to 80% of the neighbors living below the poverty line. And so it's sort of these experiences that give rise to this really fantastic art.
And these artworks are often born of tragic events, like somebody is shot or they lose a family member. And this is a way to kind of grieve in a way.
It is. It is. Another claim to fame that Philadelphians don't like to, call attention to is the fact that we have the highest murder rate, or Philadelphia has the highest wow. murder rate in the country right now. I think the number stands somewhere around 410. Mm-hmm. And so the people at the Mural Arts Program are recognizing that art becomes an important avenue or important way of maybe addressing issues of violence, addressing issues of gangs.
There's one you talk about where the image that is used is of the Pietà, because the religious imagery was compelling and it I guess in a way was analogous to the emotions they were feeling at the time.
Yeah, this is the mural that you're referencing is called "The Families Are Victims Too."
Okay.
It's over in a neighborhood in West Philadelphia, and it was commissioned by a support group by the same name, of a group of families who had lost children to gun violence. And they approached Mural Arts and said, listen, we'd really like to have a mural that would reflect what we're trying to do here in this community, which is to recognize that this is not just a social problem, or this is not just a statistical problem, i.e. the homicide rate, but that this is a human problem and that it's affecting these folks in very concrete mm-hmm. ways in these neighborhoods. And so Barbara Smolin, who is the muralist who worked with this community, spent about 3 months in a deliberation process with them trying to come up with the image that would be appropriate. And this community was very, very firm about not making the mural have a political message, that really the message that they wanted it to be about was acknowledging the real sorrow and the real sense of loss that families feel as a result of this kind of violence, and what it takes for a community to continue to move forward despite this violence. So what makes this mural quite different? It's, first of all, it's about 300 feet long. It's massive.
Wow.
It wraps around a public bus depot in this neighborhood. It's really not celebrating the violence. It's not even celebrating or even commemorating that much the victims of violence, which makes it very different than some of the impromptu murals that you see, spray can murals that really too tend to glorify the lifestyle and the
right.
person who was killed. This is really focused on the families and the people who are left behind. And Barbara Smolin, interestingly, a Jewish muralist, after going back and forth with this community several times trying to figure out what kind of image would be best, at the end of the day came up with a Pietà sort of image, a modern Pietà image. And she just said that that was really the only image that she felt was available to her that really connected with this sense of loss that this community felt. And so it's a very prominent image there, and it's fantastic. And it certainly, you can't look at that and not think that it isn't a Pietà. So.
Right, and certainly a theological text, as you were saying.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And again, as a theological text, invites all sorts of interpretation, you know, invites you to enter into relationship with the families and the people in that neighborhood who went into creating it, and to really thinking about that neighborhood as not being defined by violence, any of these neighborhoods not being defined by violence, by really wanting to be understood and understanding themselves as resilient, as hopeful, as certainly mourning, but at the same time being very engaged in resisting this violence.
Well, that's a fascinating one. You've got so many here we could talk about. Another one that I was particularly interested in, one called Recovery, which was commissioned by people who were recovering from some sort of alcohol or drug abuse. Right?
Yeah, yeah. This is, Recovery is done by, you might have heard of this organization, it's called New Jerusalem Now.
Okay.
Started by a medical mission sister, and her name is going to escape me right now, who really kind of wanted to, I guess the way she describes her motivation behind starting this organization was wanting to encounter God in a desert experience, sort of the way that the, you know, the desert fathers and the early early Christian hermits wanted to have these mystical experiences. And she said the one place in her contemporary reality that could be equated with the desert was North Philadelphia. So she moved into an abandoned house in North Philadelphia. And in the last 15 years has really kind of grown an organization that works with and for people grappling with addiction. And the fascinating thing about this mural recovery is that 12 people who are living at New Jerusalem now brainstormed together about their own image of what recovery entails. And so the mural is done on the side of their home. And it's sort of a series of these 12 images, and it's all done in mosaic glass.
Oh, wow.
Tiles. So it's really a fascinating when you think about recovery constituting bringing back the broken pieces of people's lives and trying to rebuild those individuals, but also rebuild that community over there. It's a really fascinating thing, and is very consistent with or proclaims that organization's sense of recovery as entailing recovering from drug addiction, entailing caring for the individual, but also addressing some of the social causes that create and feed addictions. And so they're trying to do both in the middle of this, you know, in the middle of a really tough neighborhood in North Philadelphia.
Yeah, what interests me about that one in particular is that so many of them, these murals you see are in memory of people who have died. Those are the ones or as you said before, even, you know, glorifying a certain lifestyle. But this was very different. And I guess, you know, there's a real variety here. You know, it's really rich. It's 2,700. That's amazing.
I mean, it is. And because it really, all of these images and these visions come from the communities, they're as diverse as the communities. Mm-hmm. And so certainly a small percentage of these are connected to issues of faith or use faith-based imagery. But at the same time, about 25% of the applications that the Mural Arts Program gets each year come from communities of faith. So I think they're sort of indicating or they're pointing to a new place for religion in the public square, that communities are seeing this kind of art. They're seeing mural arts as an important way of bringing their faith tradition and their religious self-understanding and the values that they see as important to reconstituting broken communities in Philadelphia, bringing them in a very prophetic way to the public consciousness.
Yeah, and one of the manifestations of this, as you discuss, is a black theology, an African-American understanding of religion that is unique and distinctive. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could talk about that.
Sure. The one thing that I have noticed is, you know, there's such a variety of these murals, and they vary, certainly, from neighborhood to neighborhood. And I have noticed that in going into some of the different neighborhoods in, say, North Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, Southwest Philadelphia, the murals that come out of these neighborhoods are very different than the murals that are, you know, in the downtown area, in the colonial historical district, even in South Philadelphia that is, you know, has some traditional European immigrant history. So I, you know, in a very unofficial way, have kind of been able, I think, to identify some very neat visual expressions of African American or black spirituality and theology. And so, you know, in terms of the way that some of these murals depict a notion of God in terms of an immanent life presence or a life source that sort of pervades the ordinariness of human life, or the focus on the community, you know, recognizing the community as being such an important part in the success of any one particular individual, or also this real strong focus on celebrating, commemorating the people who have made that community strong in its past, but also celebrating the children who are its future. So there's some real distinct characteristics, I think, that you can see sort of as a common thread that kind of pulls some of these different murals together. And again, it's a visual expression of, you know, a very sort of textual or abstract kind of concept.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, I was in Northern Ireland this summer, and, you know, part of the tours you do is through the neighborhood.
Seen some of them myself.
And see the murals. So those are much more political. Yes. You know, some of these, as you're saying, are not necessarily so political.
Yeah.
But it's a way for people who perhaps don't have a voice, who, you know, don't get their name in their paper or aren't in politics or whatever. Yeah. This is a way for them to speak in a certain way.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing too is that, you know, they aren't as overtly as political, say, as, you know, some of the murals in Northern Ireland, but some would say they are as political. And this is a great example. A muralist I spoke with kind of expressed a little bit of frustration with me in working with one community who wanted a landscape.
Okay.
They wanted a beautiful landscape. That's what they wanted. And this muralist was thinking there's so many other things that this community could you know, proclaim from their wall. You know, they could have much more overt messages, right? You know, we could talk about poverty and concentrated poverty. We can talk about the failing education system, and we can talk about the criminal justice system, or we could talk about, you know, housing insecurity. There's so many things, so many political issues. Why would this community want a landscape? And so the muralist kind of said that, put that forward to the community, and one of the folks there kind of replied and said, you get to see beautiful things all the time. You get to go to the shore, as we say in Philadelphia. You get to go down the shore. Or you get to go to the mountains. And we don't. We want to see something beautiful.
Right.
And this muralist kind of realized, yeah, that's political.
Right. That's a political statement.
That's
it's
a
not
political
explicit,
statement. Yeah. And so a community garden went up in front of this mural. The people in the neighborhood would call license and inspection when a house seemed to be abandoned or there was a car left on the street. All of a sudden, the mural sort of created, I don't know, a sense of a realization that these folks did have a voice and that it was up to other people to listen. So it, again, it's almost not like acknowledging people who don't have a voice, but hearing their voice, but in a different format, in a way, in a much more prophetic sort of format.
No, it's fascinating. And there's so many we could talk about here, and we're going to put a few up online. Maureen was nice enough to bring in some for us, so we're going to see if we can do a little slideshow of these. But there's one more we want to talk about before we finish our conversation, which is one that was done by both a Jewish and a Catholic artist.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I say this about all of them. Oh, this one is my favorite. But the mural you're referencing is called Doorways to Peace. And it was done at the Al-Aqsa Islamic Community Center over in the Germantown section of Philadelphia. Well, not really Germantown, on Germantown Avenue, and I guess really the Northern Liberty section, to be really specific about
it. For you Philadelphians out
there.
I
know, I'm sorry. we have to be clear
specific.
About
I
our
know,
neighborhoods.
I know.
And I can't name it by parish because we're talking about a mosque. But anyway, this Islamic community center had been in Philadelphia for about 40 years, and there were about 250 families from 13 different countries around the world that kind of saw this community center as a hub for them, a religious hub and a civic hub. But they were in a warehouse. They were in a factory warehouse. They're still in a factory warehouse, and you could walk by that building and not know that it was there. And after 9/11, they decided that it was time for them to really make their presence in the community known. They realized that there was sort of a void in the conversation in Philadelphia, as in, you know, the case around the country, a void in an Islamic perspective or a Muslim perspective on the political reality. So they figured it was time for them to really become a bigger presence in their community and in the city. So they decided to, you know, do a extreme makeover, so to speak, of the outside of their building. And they approached the Mural Arts Program about doing this, and Mural Arts assigned to them a Jewish muralist by the name of Joe Brenman and a Catholic by the name of Kathleen Hughes. So
interesting.
Catholic woman, Jewish man, and this Islamic community.
Yeah.
And again, it was one of these really intensive processes that went on for a long time. And all the folks involved will tell you that it was really about building trust among the group of people who were involved in sort of the planning of this, and then also building trust, I guess, the community there in the community center, trusting this Jewish man and Catholic woman.
Sure.
To, you know,
they can
really
convey their
transform
message.
Their building. And it was also challenging because in the Islamic tradition and Islamic art, there is no images, any kind of images of Allah, of animals, of people are really prohibited. So it created it was really challenging.
Right.
But the process was fantastic. And as it went on, the people in the Islamic community became more and more engaged, and they ended up doing, you know, all sorts of tile work on the outside that the community got involved in. They opened the doors to the mosque and asked people from the immediate community and then from the wider Philadelphia community to come in and work on this tile project. And so they've really completely transformed this building. And now if you take a cultural, you know, sites trolley tour of Philadelphia, you'll go by this mosque.
Oh, wow.
Because it's really sort of one of the prouder accomplishments in the city. And I like to argue it's a great example of visible religion.
Visible religion.
Visible religion. In other words, you know, this project sort of allowed lots of folks from different traditions to bring together or identify in conversation with one another some of the values that they share, and to be very intentional about proclaiming them. And all the folks who have been involved in that project were really transformed. So, for example, the community center has done a lot with peace walks. And again, they've opened their doors for folks to come in.
Right.
Joe Brenman, the Jewish muralist, you know, has really started to engage his own spirituality, mm-hmm. his own Jewish spirituality in his work a little bit more concretely. So it's just a fascinating, plus the building is spectacular.
Yeah, as an artist, this must be such an exciting project because, you know, you're really working with a group of people. You're seeing what art can do. I mean, what mm-hmm. people who are real believers in art believe that it can do this.
Yeah.
It can create change.
Right.
And, you know, and to see it actual happen must be great for
yes.
an artist.
Yeah, and they talk about the fact that, you know, there's a real, the murals lift out a connection between beauty and justice, that art does have a social function.
Right.
But that in order for that to be accomplished, everybody almost has to leave their own agenda, I guess, to the side and come together as a group and figure out what that shared vision might be, whether your neighbors, you know, and your neighborhood association trying to figure out who is going to be the most prominent, you know, model for the mural at the end of your street, or if you're the Islamic Community Center working with Joe and Kathleen. It's really about building trust and then and having the confidence to articulate your vision.
Well, that's great. I mean, we could talk about this all afternoon. It's really fascinating stuff. But we want to thank Maureen for stopping by, and we're going to put some of these pictures up on the web so people can take a look. And thanks again for coming. Hopefully
yeah.
you can come back again, maybe give us an update.
For sure. And I encourage anybody who's down in Philadelphia, as you're driving around, look around. It won't be hard to see a mural or two.
Get out of Center City. Go into the neighborhoods.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a public art gallery down there.
That's great. Well, thanks, Maureen.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
I want to thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the American Magazine podcast. As you know, we're on a bi-weekly schedule in January, so we won't be joining you again for a couple of weeks. But be sure to check out photos of the murals that Maureen spoke about. We'll have a link online right next to the place where you download our podcast. You can also subscribe to our podcast at americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.